Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast, where we bring together the best medical minds, thought leaders, scientists, patients, and caregivers to inform and inspire the spondylitis community. I'm your host, Jill Miller, living my best spa life, knowing that how we meet today has the power to change everything going forward. Please note that the information provided in this podcast should not be considered medical advice. We do encourage all listeners to consult their healthcare professionals for medical concerns. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find our discussion today enlightening.
Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast. Today, our guest is Lori Beth Cohen. She is returning to us to talk about Ayurvedic eating. She is the owner and founder of ReFit, a wellness center in Glenview, Illinois. This incorporates Western and Eastern treatment practices to heal clients. She is certified in traditional physical therapy, integrated manual therapy, Pilates, Ayurveda, and neuro-emotional techniques. She combines these modalities to find the underlying root cause of her clients' pain and dis-ease. Her goal is to empower patients to listen to their body rhythms, to detect acute imbalances so they can be resolved. She guides clients so that they can remove blockages, promote energy flow, and heal the body from within. She specializes in chronic conditions, autoimmune disorders, and rehabilitation. In her spare time, she enjoys gardening and wilderness camping with her husband. Lori Beth Cohen, welcome back to SpondyCast. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited for this. We did an episode a few weeks ago. Hopefully all of the listeners were there on Ayurveda. And today we're going to talk about eating. So I love talking about food. It's an exciting topic, near and dear to us all.
Talking about it. So
what does Ayurveda say about food?
That is a huge topic. And first of all, just thank you for having me back again. There's so much to talk about on Ayurveda. And as food is near and dear to you, it's near and dear to many, most of them. So, and there's so much information about what we should do and what we shouldn't do. So Ayurveda has some really simple guidelines. You could get into some really deep, into the different types of, into the nitty gritty, but there also is some really basic guidelines that really help everyone. So there's that old adage, with the proper food, there is no need for medicine. And Ayurveda really takes that to heart and feels that our gut and our food and our nutrition is really important. As you know, diet, lifestyle, and routine, right? So
yep.
Here we are with the diet piece.
Yep. So when we say diet, most people think one thing. Ayurveda kind of looks at it differently, right?
Absolutely. And as an Ayurveda practitioner, it's funny because I'm always saying diet, lifestyle, and routine. But I'm starting to shift out of saying that. I'm switching all my words on my website and everything else to say nutrition or food, lifestyle, and routine. Because when we think diet, we kind of think of, oh, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to get more energy, or we usually think of a diet as something we do short term. And maybe not everybody feels that way, but there's a lot of people out there that will say, oh, I never stick to a diet. But in Ayurveda, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle, and there's different pieces that make it really easy to have a healthier eating without having to think that you've got to cook every meal at home, and everything has to be organic and everything like that. So for this topic, let's think nutrition, quote, rather than diet. And let's not think about calories consumed, but really more about we come from nature and we are nature and we eat things from nature to make us strong and healthy, right? So we're not counting calories or looking at calories. We're looking at the elements that we're eating and how we're eating them and then how we actually process those foods.
Yes. And so when I think of Ayurveda, I often have thought of you as I raise my children, because they'll complain that they're like, I don't like what we're having. And I'm always like, food is fuel. It's not supposed to taste good all the time. And I know you disagree, but
it depends, because it's funny because there's good cravings and bad cravings. So people could have cravings for things that are actually good for them, but they can also have cravings for things that are bad for them. I'm a great example of this because I crave bitters. I love greens. I love spinach and kale. And those things in moderation are really good for you. But I could tend to overeat that. I could tend to overeat broccoli. I can tend to overeat the cruciferous vegetables. So those are all, quote, things that are good for you that I think taste wonderful. But other people might not think those taste too good, right? So the whether it's tasty or not is in the tongue of the beholder, not the eye
that's
of the
good.
Beholder, right? But it depends if it's a good or a bad craving. Most people think of bad cravings as sweets and things like that. But my cravings also put me out of balance, but it's actually with some healthy, really good healthy food. Kind of an interesting way to look at it, huh?
Yeah. And so, and really, I mean, Ayurveda looks at food as medicine, right? And this is how we sustain ourselves.
Absolutely.
And I think we talked last time that, right, that there are a lot of things we can do from a food perspective that don't even involve getting into, you know, specific herbal approaches. But as we've talked, I'm excited because, like, so I'm Pitta, right? This hot,
yes.
fiery thing.
Yes.
In the doshas of Ayurveda. And I have been told to increase eating foods that will, like, make Pitta pacified or chill out. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when we think about those foods, what does all that mean?
That's a great question. And so today, instead of talking about specific foods, like, people will want to know, like, I have AO, what should I eat? And you said you're Pitta, so what should I eat? And studying food in Ayurveda could be very, it's a lifetime. Like, it's been 15 years since I've had my practice, I've been a certified practitioner, and I'm still studying and I'm still learning. And for the purpose of this podcast, to give people take home information that could really help them, I'd rather talk about guidelines than specific foods. But to answer your question on specific foods, we just to give you a reason why I'm going into the guidelines even more. Even though everybody has AO that's probably listening to this podcast, everybody has a different constitution, meaning what your main dosha or primary doshas are, and everybody has their own vikriti or imbalances. So if I start talking about what's good for Jill or somebody that's got high Pitta, that's not going to be good for the person that's out of balance because they've got too much kapha or an excess of vata. So I can't go into specific guidelines. I could talk for hours.
Right.
But if I tell you about more, and the food that you eat is made up of different elements, and those elements are going to either decrease a certain dosha or increase a certain dosha. So we always are like, what's your dosha? Da, 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 you know, asking those kind of questions. But today, what I'd rather kind of review from last time is because it's not just what you eat, it's how you digest. And so that goes back to our last conversation about kind of that Agni and Ama and Ojas.
Right.
And those are the things that are either going to give you healthy doshas and healthy tissue levels, or tissue layers, right? And healthy malas or excretions. But if you're not digesting your food, everything just turns to toxins or ama in your system.
So let's double click on that a bit, right? Like, so,
yeah.
Right, with spondylitis. So for someone with spondylitis, the Oja, the Agni, and the Ama, right? Those are the things we've talked about a little bit. But double click on those for me. Like, how do those contribute to...
Okay, I get it. So yep. AS is an auto... So it's going to be the same for AS as with everybody else. There's Ojas, Agni, and Ama, right? But specifically for AS, let's just bring it back to that for a second. AS is an autoimmune issue, right? And Ojas in Ayurveda is your immunity. Okay. So with ankylosing spondylitis, there's going to be an imbalance of that Ojas. Okay. So when in an autoimmune disease, And this is not saying that this is how come you have AS. This is just the Ayurvedic perspective of Samprapti or the causes that we can then go back. Remember, if we're in dis-ease, we can return to ease, right? We start out with ease, hopefully, in our life. We go into a dis-ease state. And now let's kind of backwards reverse engineer so that we get ease again. Does that make sense?
Total sense.
So Ayurveda is going to look at what are the causative factors that cause that ojas to go out of balance. And what we would say, or that immune system to go out of balance. And we'd say that the disturbed digestion, either you're digesting your food too fast, or there's not enough digestion if the fire is too low, okay? So we think of digestive fire, and the fire could be high or the fire could be low, or it could just be variable. And one day it's really strong and one day you don't have any appetite or digestion. Those are two different things. So if you're not digesting the stuff you're putting in, there's gonna be a buildup of toxicity. And then when there's that buildup of toxicity, your immune system is gonna have to either work overtime cleaning up that excess immune, like we've got a spleen and a thymus, right? And so the spleen does everyday immunity and the thymus does more like the big things, right? But either way, if your system has too much buildup of too much stuff in it and too much stuff moving through it and settling into the different channels and the different tissues, the immune system's overworking, it gets fatigued, it gets burnt out, and it can't clean up the everyday toxins or fight off disease. And is that any questions with what I just said?
No, that's super helpful. So when you think about, right, so the ojas, as we're talking through the immunity, and then the agni.
Agni's the fire.
Right, is your fire. So your digestive fire. And there are, like, how do you get back to healthy, right, in those two areas?
Right. So how do I get back to, so if your agni is balanced and good, you won't have a lot of ama or toxins in your system. So how do we keep a strong agni, one that isn't burning too, we had been talking the other day and you said, how come the last time my pitta was out of balance? Do you mind if I'm asking you, if I'm bringing this up for a second?
No, this is great. Yeah. Cause this is really, this was a light bulb moment for me.
So the other day, you're like, I had another Ayurvedic consultation and now we're saying my pitta is out of balance. The last time my pitta was out of balance. So we're just talking about those doshas again, right? So what should I eat for my dosha? Going back to that first question of yours, my pitta was out of balance years ago and I couldn't keep weight on. Now my pitta is out of balance and I feel like I'm heavy and I've got some sludge in me or sluggishness that I need to lose. Why is it, if my pitta is out of balance both times, is this happening? Do you remember that question?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking about agni. And if your agni is too high, if that fire, if you try to cook rice, I like using rice. It's a good visual for people. And most people have cooked it in their lifetime. If you cook rice on too high of a fire, right, the rice doesn't get cooked right. And if you cook rice on too low of a fire, it doesn't get cooked right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And now let's talk about that your fire is cooking too fast all the time. So you're putting food in, healthy, good food. You're doing everything you're supposed to. Well, obviously something needs to change because something's out of balance. But your fire is too high for whatever reasons. What's happening is it's not only cooking and burning the food, but it's starting to burn your body. It's starting to burn your healthy tissues that you need to function, your muscle, your fat, you know, your healthy fat, your bones, all those levels are getting depleted because the fire's too high and it's burning too hard. And so it's cooking too much of yourself. So that's too high of an agni causing you to lose weight and your pitta is out of balance. The other way is that the fire is not being stoked properly and it's too low and it's not cooking the food enough and it's not digesting the food enough. And so then it's lying as toxins in your body. And that's when ama, what we call ama, or congestion or heaviness happens. And a lot of you might be thinking that this is happening in the digestive system. And well, I'm eliminating well, so of course I'm cleaning out my system. But there are, if you think about agni just as not just as your fire in your belly, but every single tissue layer, your blood, your lymph, your blood, your muscle, your fat, all of them have their own digestive fires that are cooking and helping keep that tissue tissue healthy and support that tissue. So you can have, like in AS, we're looking at pain, inflammation, stiffness, and that would be AMO or toxins maybe in your joints or your muscles. Not, you know, so you might have a really good, say, you might think your digestion's really good, but the digestion of the elements and the food that's creating your muscle and your fat layers and your bone might not be getting cooked properly to give you good nutrition to get those tissue layers up.
Okay, so I would love to hear more about, right? So when you talk about the guidelines to start shifting things back to a state of ease. Basic guidelines. I mean, I know, like, how do we eliminate AMA, which is the toxin stuff?
To eliminate it, you want to follow for the topic of this conversation, I would say how to eat, where to eat, when to eat. So we're talking about the guidelines. I mean, like, there's AMA eliminators where I could recommend a tea or something like that. And I'd say, like, make a tea with cumin and coriander, fennel, equal parts, and then add some fresh ginger to it. You boil it, you steep it, you strain it, and then you can add some lemon or lime, and you would drink that before your meals. So that's going to help clean out your system, get the digestive fire stoked, so that when you eat, you're cooking your foods.
And that's something really anybody can do, or is that more dosha specific?
That's a great question. No, that's something anybody can do, and it should. There's certain spices like cumin, coriander, cardamom, turmeric. I'm losing one in my head.
Fennel.
Saffron. All of those are kind of like those spices would be the ones that I have in my kitchen and I use all the time. And my sister and my best friend both are like, I don't like cumin. I'm like, I put cumin in everything and they're eating it. I just don't tell them because cumin's so good for digestion and to just get that digestive fire going. So how to eliminate AMA? We create a good digestive fire. How do we create a good digestive fire? We follow the guidelines.
And the guidelines are when, where, how.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's dig in there.
Okay. So what I was thinking about this so that I just don't start keep rambling on. I'll talk to you about, like, say how to eat, but then remember I'm telling you all this with the suggestion of how it's going to help improve your digestive fire or how it's going to decrease AMA. So if you hear one and you're like, so for instance, the first one's like, eat in nature. And people will be like, why do I need to eat in nature? I want to sit at my desk and eat. And then I could explain to you why that's better for Agni and for increasing, increasing Agni or fire and decreasing the AMA in you. So whichever ones don't make sense to you, we can go back and kind of talk about. How's that?
That sounds like a good plan.
Great. Okay, so as I just said, my first thing is Ayurveda would recommend eating in nature. It's the most powerful detox plate you could do for yourself. When you're sitting in nature and you're getting back to, you know, last time we talked about we're a microcosm of the macrocosm we live in, right? And how we perceive the world is how we're going to be walking through it, right? Or how we're feeling and see is how we see the world. So when we're sitting out in nature and we're not reading the news and we're actually like hearing the birds chirp or seeing the grass blow, we're actually coming back to our roots and we're coming back to where our food is actually coming from. You know, it doesn't come from that paper bag that person handed you through the drive-through window. It really comes from either being grown in this grass or on this ground that we're standing on or sitting on, right? And it comes from this sunlight. And to be in the sunlight, like, lunch is the most important meal of the day in my view, because that's when our digestive fire is highest and we're able to have the longest time to digest our food before we're going to bed. And we have the most energy to digest our food, right? So you're sitting in nature and you're looking at that sun and you're taking in that energy or prana from the sun, and you're feeling the wind or you're feeling the earth on your feet. That's all going to help you digest your food. Any questions on that one?
You made me just move into the sun.
It feels good, doesn't it?
It does feel good. We don't get enough of it.
No, we don't. We're inside all day and in an office, and we don't, that goes to the gut. I mean, this is a divergence, but that goes to the whole gut microbiome, right? There's different foods we should be eating at different seasons. The foods that are seasonal are the ones that your gut microbiome is ready to eat and digest in that season. And what we need in the fall or winter is different foods for energy than we need in the spring and or in the summer.
And this is one of the most fascinating things to me about Ayurveda. And I know it seems logical, but right in the summer, we have melons and we have all these like watery foods
exactly.
to keep us hydrated.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. Everything you just hit, you win the prize. Ayurveda is all logic. And I mean, there's science behind it. Like there's people doing NIH research and other researches that are proving what Ayurveda said 5,000 years ago. To eat seasonally is one of those things. We can get food, any food we want at any time, right now, but the gut microbiome does change. And the season and the heat, when it's high heat, you need different foods. You need watery foods that are going to keep you hydrated and are more liquidy. In the fall, grains are harvested to then take you through the fall and the winter. In the spring, our gut microbiome changes and we don't digest grains anymore. That's when it's time to start cleaning up any kind of heaviness or accumulation of too much heaviness from the winter season and the winter fats that we were storing. That's how come the spring greens are there. Isn't that incredible? Like it does it for us. We would just listen.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I've gotten to the point where I'm a little bit weird about when I go to a restaurant and they say we have fresh seasonal vegetables, and I'll say, well, what do you have? And they'll say, well, we have broccoli and we have, spinach.
Red pepper,
and I'm like,
yeah.
But it's January in Chicago. And
yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah, those aren't the ones we're supposed to be eating.
No. And it makes me sometimes wonder if like some of the indoor farming is really great for us, or should we be actually growing lettuce in January?
Very good question. And my opinion, which is, I feel like I'm my own lab, right? My own science experiment. If I eat lettuces in the winter, they don't taste good and they don't digest well. Now, if I eat kale, which is a heartier green that has been dehydrated, like I've done it in my dehydrator I grow my own kale during the summer and then I dry it and I eat it during the winter, that I can tolerate. It's a heavier green and it has more integrity. And in the winter, we need foods that have a little bit more density or integrity. I'm not saying I'm going to eat a ton of kale in the winter, but it's if you start, you go to a restaurant and you eat something that might have been grown hydroponically, so you're getting things in the wrong season, see how you digest it and how you feel the next day. That's about ama, you know? So if you're feeling, how do you feel ama? After your meal, do you feel light and energized and ready to go? Or do you feel like you need a nap? Or do you feel like you've got some indigestion or gas or bloat? All of those are signs that there's ama in your system.
Okay. So we're going to move on from the where to the when of eating.
Sure. So this is very logical. Eat when you're hungry. there's a lot of different reasons why we eat. Elisa Commerce has a beautiful article on this, but she has like 13 different reasons for eating. And there's emotional eating, right? People will open up they can't process something and they're nervous or they're anxious, and they'll open up the fridge and they'll be eating without even being hungry. And when you're not hungry and your mind isn't on eating, then your fire is somewhere else. And it's probably in your head, right? You're trying to problem solve, or it's scattered of the things you have to do. So that fire that needs to be in your belly to eat is now moved up, and it's in your head. And that energy of movement, which we want, if we're eating, we want the food to be swallowed, put in our stomach, and then keep going down into the small intestine and being circulated there, that flow isn't going in the right direction. The flow is now going up, right? So eating when you're hungry, I'm kind of went into multiple pieces about that, but eat when you're hungry so that your digestive enzymes could then turn on and cook the food, right? Eat when you have a clear and pleasant mind, and when you're not angry or sad, because your food will take on those energies. And as I said, if your digestive enzymes aren't turned on, they're not going to digest your food, and then you're going to get ama rather than your meal becoming nutrient rich.
Okay, I'm in the sun. I'm ready to eat. How do I eat?
So the first thing I say is, are you salivating? Like, the food comes to you. Say you're outside and you're sitting outside at a beautiful restaurant. It's like beautiful temp, and you're with your besties or your family, whoever around you that makes you feel really good, right? But you've been talking a lot. and so your head, you're still in your head, and you need to take time to slow down and get that flow going the other way, right? The first thing to notice when that food comes is, are you salivating? Because salivation will turn on your digestive enzymes so that your food could be cooked. So how to eat, the first thing I'd say is slowly, slow down, bring the fire back to the belly. I'd also say, pay attention to what you're eating. So if I'm eating with friends, what I'll do sometimes is I'll be like, I'm really hungry. I'm eating first. You could talk, or neither one of us have to talk. But then, so one of us will eat and one of us will talk, and then we'll flip, and the other one will talk, and then the other one will eat. So you don't want to, how to eat, you don't want to talk and eat at the same time, because you're adding a lot more air into your digestion. And so that's going to create more gas and bloat. It comes to that discernment. Like, we talk about AS, having some ama or toxins in your system that's causing pain or stiffness, and the immune system not working properly, where you're not discerning what's you and what's not you. When you pay attention to that discernment we talked about last time, or we kind of mentioned this time, that discernment comes from paying attention to your food. So if you're shoveling it in and you're not even really paying attention to that food that you're putting in, how is your body supposed to discern that there's six tastes in Ayurveda, and how is it supposed to discern which taste you're doing and how it's supposed to work and how it's supposed to cook and create your body? So that paying attention or mindfulness comes to the discernment and getting the fire back into the belly to cook the food, and allowing the flow to go in the right direction to help that food flow down into your stomach, start cooking and churning, and then go into your small intestine to be cooked more. Another thing I'd say about how to eat would be to chew each bite. They say 32 times because we have 32 teeth. Now, you can argue that if you've had your wisdom teeth pulled and things like that. But basically what you're doing, you know, that salivation started the digestive enzymes, and this chewing and liquefying your food, that saliva is getting cooked, broken, helping break down the food, and it's helping cook it even more so that there's less cooking you have to do as it goes through your system. It'll digest better.
Okay, so I want to go back to the time of year stuff, but not necessarily of what you eat. So we have talked many times about Khichdi. It's sort of like cleaning things out. And can you explain to us what Khichdi is and like why we would use it in Ayurveda?
Absolutely. So Khichdi is a main staple. It's basically rice, white rice, and split yellow mung dal beans. And it's the combination of those two things that make the khichdi. And then depending on what season or what kind of imbalance you have, you could add different spices to your khichdi. And khichdi is a complete protein, and it's the most easily digested protein. So when somebody has ama and toxins running through their system, khichdi is a great nutrient that's also very, very easy to digest. So you could use khichdi just, quote, for a cleanse. You can eat it for lunch and dinner for, say, 4 days in a row. During the 14-day cleanse I do, I eat it for every meal for 7 days. But also sometimes I just come home and I'm really tired and I'm like, I know I should eat. It was a hard day and I don't want to skip this meal. It's not good for me to fast. And so I know I need something to ground me, but I can't think of cooking and my stomach has a weak digestive fire, and khichdi is great to use then as well.
So
basically it's just white rice and yellow split mung dal peas. And though it's the combination of those two that make the complete protein, just like rice and beans make a complete protein. But when you're talking about beans, they're harder to digest and they're more drying. So if you have a lot of vata energy in you or imbalance, or dryness or gas and bloat and constipation, the beans are could be too drying to your system, or the mung dal is not, or the yellow lentils are not drying.
Okay. So would you ever go home and pop khichdi from the night before in the microwave?
Trick question. You know, Ayurveda would say that we're supposed to eat food that's only fresh, that's freshly cooked that meal. Well, back then they didn't have refrigeration, and it was a different lifestyle and a different way of living. Now I sometimes make a big, like when I'm on the cleanse, I'll make a big pot of khichdi. I'll eat what I need to, and then I'll put it in the fridge, and then I'll put it back on stovetop. I really 95% of the time I won't microwave food. But if that's the only way you're going to eat warm cooked meals, absolutely use the microwave. For me, I don't like using a microwave. I don't like the way how it cooks your food. It doesn't make sense to me. And also when I put food on the stove, that's giving me time, that 5 or 10 minutes or 15 minutes, for me to come back into my body and start smelling the food. The food doesn't come out over hot. Sometimes in a microwave, it comes out too hot, and then you're eating, you're burning your tongue, and you're not going to digest your food well that way. So trick question, I would say on the first part, I would eat khichdi from the night before. I'd also maybe add a few fresh herbs or dry herbs just so there's some freshness in it, or maybe throw in a little bit of some spinach or something like that, so there's something that's highly prana-based. But yeah, I would eat khichdi the next day. I just wouldn't put it in the microwave.
Okay, you did well on my trick question. So I've gone through the cycle of like eating what I've always normally ate until I was like, you know, 40. And then I shifted toward an Ayurvedic, we'll call it diet or nutrition. And I kind of, you know, and that was great. And there were moments where it was like, this doesn't taste good, or I'm not sure this is for me. Ultimately, in my case, and I think other people I've met along my journey, you do start to feel better. But if somebody hasn't tried this before, right, and it's not magical. Well, it is magical, but it's not something that can't be overcome, right? Like, you've got to try as you shift into a diet. There's a little bit of effort, but talk about like how, if somebody was interested in trying to resolve maybe just general imbalance, how would you start shifting into an Ayurvedic diet?
So the first thing is that the guidelines we just talked about, like, go back and review this, what I said on those. There's a ton of more guidelines that we can get into, but if you just start thinking of, am I in a rest? And so we have everybody has stress. So the first thing I could say to any beginner is don't eat when you're stressed, right? Because stress is the sympathetic system overdrive. I need to run away from something. When you're in that state, you can't digest food. You can't, that's the last thing on your mind. the parasympathetic, the rest and digest, is where you need to be. So if anything, sit down to eat. You know, maybe some people don't even sit, they're standing or they're driving or they're talking on the phone or they're reading. So with the Ayurvedic diet, I'd first say, look at those guidelines. Are you sitting down? Are you eating three meals a day, regularly timed, so that your body knows it's getting food at the right time? Because it will start, if you, it'll entrain to what you do. So if you start feeding it breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it will start producing those digestive enzymes and remind you, hey, you know, I'm hungry, it's time to eat. But if you don't have that routine, it won't know. So I would get, that would be my first recommendation, is to try some of these guidelines. And then if you want to go further into, say, like what kind of food I should eat, I would say wholesome, fresh, things that aren't canned or like everybody thinks eating bars is a really good thing for them. Well, I'm getting this amount of protein, this amount of fat. But if you taste those bars, most of them are really, really dry. Not the ones that are all fig, but those are very high, could be high in sugar and not really a good balance for somebody that's out of balance with too much kapha or ama or heaviness or congestion. But anyway, so eating like fresh food, thinking about where it's sourced from, meaning, you know, even just thinking about the grocer that hands you your fish and kind of start coming back to, where is the whole chain and how am I connected to this food? So become connected with your food in any way you can.
So one of the things I do remember in this shift was, for me, was like some of the foods didn't taste good. And I went all in very quickly. I suppose you don't recommend that.
I wouldn't say start eating. If you've never eaten Indian food and those spices don't appeal to you, that is not the first thing I'd recommend, nor maybe ever recommend to you. I have one sister who doesn't, or and friends that don't like Indian food, but I still use the Ayurvedic principles. So we have six tastes in Ayurveda. We have sweet, sour, salty, bitter, astringent, and pungent. And when you eat, you really want all of those flavors put on your plate, and you want to eat them in a certain order for the best digestion. But to start with, to not be overwhelming, I'd look at my plate, and in the summer, I want half of that plate to be filled with vegetables, and then a quarter of the plate to be filled with a protein, and a quarter of the plate to be filled with carb. That would be the balance for, say, summer. And then come fall and winter, it becomes a little bit more of a third, and a third. So that's something to look at. Look at how many colors are on that plate. Look at how many different textures are on that plate, because everything you take in has different elements, and those different elements are going to feed the doshas, the bioenergies, and your tissues differently. So what your muscle needs is different than what your blood and your lymph needs. So having like things that are red, like beets, what would you think that would be good for?
Cleaning your garbage disposal.
Yeah, for your blood.
Your human garbage disposal, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So the blood, like the beets on the plate or anything that's deep red, cranberries, all of that's going to be really good to clean your lymphatic system and your blood, both which are important with AS, keeping those systems clean, because those are the first systems that are going to then feed all the other tissue layers. So having some different colors, if you look at walnuts, they look like a brain and they're a food that's good for your brain. So kind of I would play around with food that way rather than saying buy an Ayurvedic cookbook and start following all the recipes. If you're not a recipe person and you just like looking at what's in your fridge, go that route. But know that and when I say sweet, just for clarification, I don't mean candy and cake. Sorry, people. I mean like the sweet foods are the ones that are going to build tissue. So that's your root vegetables, that's your rice, that's your grains, and that's any kind of animal flesh. Those are the ones that are going to really help build muscle and tissue. Whereas the pungent is the heat, right? And for every person, amount of heat might be different. For some people, it might be one spritz of black pepper on their plate. And for somebody else, it could be a lot of hot pepper. right? And so that's going to go back to what we're used to and the state of our digestion and the state of our imbalances as to how much of those different things we need. But so that's the pungent. It helps cook the food as it's going into your body. Whereas the sour also can help balance the vata. It helps build tissue. But for somebody that is too much tissue, you want to eat less sour. Like one of the myths that people like, oh, I had yogurt and granola for breakfast. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to say that's the worst thing you can have for breakfast. It's not the worst. I'm glad you're eating. I'm glad you're sitting down. But that time of day, when we talk about timing of meals, the morning, that time of the day is where there's more of a heaviness energy, the bioenergy of kapha is around. So you're eating a heavy, cold, congealed food, the yogurt, at a time when that's the bioenergy that's there. So a light, warm, cooked meal is better in the morning. So I'd follow that kind of stuff during the, as I said, mentioned before, lunchtime is that time of day where our digestive fire is the strongest. And the sun's in the sky, and the sun in the sky is helping us, you know, that's the reminder that there's a lot of heat and a lot of help cooking our food. So that's when our biggest, heaviest meal should be. So if we're going to have any kind of cold, raw foods, eat them at that time of day. So those are the kind of things I would jump into if I was going to start eating Ayurvedically, rather than grabbing an Ayurvedic cookbook and thinking of, I have to roast my spices for this recipe, and I have to measure out this amount of cumin and this amount of coriander. Especially when some people don't even like those spices.
Right. And okay, so final question before we wrap.
Okay.
So maybe it's not a question, maybe it's a thought, right? It's part of Ayurveda is about learning about yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
This journey that you're describing with food is really, I don't want to say getting to know your food, but maybe that's the right way to say it. Getting to know yourself and how your body responds to the food, and that leads to feeling better. Do I have that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say it comes back to that discernment, and it comes back to taking time and space to be with ourselves. And, you know, one of the things I do in the morning is say, how am I? Like, you know, you ask everybody else, how are you? You asked me that today when we started, right? But if we start our morning and say, how are you? And then we learn, oh, you know what? I'm a little sluggish today, or I'm a little tired. Or God, I've got a lot on my plate. I really need to have energy from my food. But it gives you, when you start asking yourself that question, you could start responding kind of like I talked about the map and where you are on the map last time. It's that knowing where you are on the map, and then Ayurveda will give you the explanation of what you need to do for where you are.
You used to say, check the weather of your mind and body when you open your eyes. And I love that. Maybe we should be asking other people that question. So any final thoughts before we get rolling for our listeners?
No, I just really hope that this helped empower you to see that there are things that you can do that don't take a lot of time or energy that can really help you digest your food better, which will then give you better nutrients and better energy, and that will empower you to feel better and be able to live the life you want to live.
I love that. That was a great way to land. Lori Beth, thank you so much. And I guess one final question, where would people find more information about Ayurvedic eating or just in general? Is there a good set of resources?
There's a ton of good resources. There's a lot of different, so to me, if you're really wanting to look at it and it not be confusing, I would go to a bookstore, that old fashioned bookstore, and start scrolling through the Ayurvedic books. There's like Eat, Taste, Heal. There's Kate O'Donnell has one. There's a bunch of different cookbooks, but when you look through the cookbooks, it kind of talks about this stuff I was talking about. And then it shows you recipes, and maybe you don't even want the recipes and you just want that first information. I actually did a 5-part it's on my Refit Wellness. I can't think of the word I'm trying to think of, a 5-part series. And one is just on food. So I have one on the mind. I have one on daily routine. And then actually I think my food one might be 2 parts. One is like how to eat. And then one is more like going into the different tastes and how to balance them for your different doshas. So that could be a resource for people.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much. I think we may have to have a third episode in the near future.
I have a lot of ideas cooking and simmering in my head. So I would love to be back on. Thank you for having me. I just love sharing Ayurveda and allowing people to know that they have the power to make change in themselves.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
SpondyCast was made possible by donations from the Spondylitis Association of America's individual members and our show's corporate sponsor, AbbVie. Since our founding in 1983, the Spondylitis Association of America has been the face, voice, and leading nationwide nonprofit educating, empowering, and advocating for people living with spondyloarthritis. Through our extensive work with patients, the medical community, and partners, we provide information and resources to help people impacted by the disease live better lives and champion research to find a cure.